So I want to say something this morning about a topic that is exciting, I think, practicing with technology. And so you're going to have to stop me today.
Okay.
13 minutes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I decided I'll give myself that much time, and then we'll have a little bit of time to talk about it, too, because I think it's such an issue that's so in everybody's life. I think one of the fundamental points of Buddhism is that simply following our desires is not actually the way to be happy, even though it seems like it ought to be. So there's an old Buddhist story that we studied last fall, pre-Zen, about a hawk and a quail. So there's this quail that ventures out and beyond the field where the quail lives and whoosh, gets caught by this hawk. And while it's getting flown away by the hawk, the quail muses aloud. Oh, poor me, having gotten caught by this hawk. If I hadn't ventured out beyond my natural domain, this would have never happened to me. Wouldn't have happened back where I live. And the hawk hears this and says, the story says, without boasting, where is your natural domain, quail? And the quail says, oh, it's that clod of earth way back there in the field, of freshly tilled earth. And the hawk says, without boasting, well, I'm going to let you go, quail, and go back to that clod of earth, because you can't escape me there. And so he lets the quail go, and the quail flies back to the clod of earth and stands on top of it. And then the hawk circles around, and he sees the hawk coming, the quail does. And as the hawk begins his dive, the quail jumps underneath the clod of earth. And the hawk comes down and hits, and suffers a blow to the chest, and then has to fly away. Because the quail was safe under that clod of earth. That's the end of the story. And the Buddha then chimes in and says, what is your foreign domain? And answers his own question. Your foreign domain is following your every desire. What is your natural domain? The Buddha asks. Your natural domain is present moment awareness. The awareness of this moment without needing to run anywhere. Now, I think this is a very nice story, and it tells exactly half the story of Zen practice. I'll get to the other half in a minute. What this story tells us to do, I think, or warns us about, is that following our every desire is not the way to... What the story says is it's dangerous because we can get gobbled up by this hawk. And that we have a kind of refuge, which is this clod of earth, which is the our home. When thinking about technology, it seems to me that one of the things that modern technology does is it allows us much more easily than before to go all over the place, to follow any desire, whatever whim and thought and desire we have, we can follow it much more easily than before. sometimes I think of these little cell phones, you know, as little desire machines that we have in our pocket all of the time, that we can just... So if we have a thought about something, we want to know, you know, who the 10th Prime Minister was of Britain. I went on a little jag about the Prime Ministers the other evening at home, I have to admit. You know, we can find that out. And then follow another link and another link and another link. And before you know it, we're far away from what the Buddha calls our natural domain. My the way I have started to think about technology, computers in particular, is to realize and to appreciate and to revere their power. They are it's an incredible power that these things have, a computer, that it allows us. And certainly, you know, a cell phone, I don't know what they say. The amount of computing power used to, you know, fit in a warehouse. Sam, you know what the... Is that true? You know, shrunk down now. So we're carrying this huge, what used to be a huge, you know, powerful machine in our pockets. And... We can forget that. Louis C.K. Has this great, you know, I don't like all of his humor, but if you watch him on TV shows, clips of him on TV shows, then he can't go into all kinds of things. He's limited just to the clean stuff. And so there's one clip called "Everything's Amazing and Nobody's Happy," which I recommend. In which, you know, he goes into the way things used to be and the way things are now, and says, you know, people with their phones, like, having to wait 3 seconds. And they're like, what is this piece of junk? And he says, you know, just give it a second. It's going to space. Give it a second to come back from space. We have an incredible power in these things, and I think we have to remember that. Just remember what kind of, and cherish that power. And realize that with power comes responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And we have to, I think it's our responsibility to use that carefully. Because also power can corrupt. And I think it has a kind of possibility for corruption within this great new power that we have, to corrupt us into wanting more power, to following that to, and I mean power, we're not talking about power over people necessarily, but it's a certain power to connect, to go, to move, to get outside of our domain. And I think we have to remember that, and remember to pull ourselves back from that with some frequency, with some regularity. I said it's half the story. In Mahayana Buddhism, which is the great wave of Buddhism that came about 500 years after the Buddha, the critique of original Buddhism is that it's hiding under the clod too much. Like, it's just, there's a bunch of monks who don't go, who feel like their job is just not to engage with the world. So in Mahayana Buddhism, we add this new ideal of the bodhisattva who knows the world of present moment awareness, knows their domain, their home domain, but also is unafraid to venture forth into the world to help. And that means connecting. You know? And I've, in 13 minutes, you say, I really want to make give some sort of balance to you to this, because I also believe that these machines, these powerful machines, help us connect with each other in ways that that are remarkable, and have ways of flipping the hierarchies, which are fantastic, democratizing things, people in, you know, and I hope that this kind of technology helps people who were poor become less poor, who were suffering suffer less. I think there's a real possibility of that. And for ourselves, we have to learn somehow, I believe, as practitioners, that both places are our home. That this place, that this present moment awareness in which we don't desire anything is our home. But in order, that's a very subtle place, a very subtle feeling, and easily lost. It takes time and boundaries in order to get quiet enough and comfortable enough to really feel it, and then to venture forth with it. So we, as practitioners, I think we have to not make a boogeyman of technology, but learn to make a boundary regularly that keeps not only technology, but everybody else, all of our human relations. That sounds strict, doesn't it? But that's what I believe. That keeps the world away for a moment, and that just allows us to breathe and experience the present moment without thinking, without being pulled left or right. And that's hard. You know, it's hard for, what is it, Wordsworth? Is that who wrote that poem? The world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. It's so easy to get stuck in the world, get pulled by the world. It's important that we find that it takes boundaries to take that, to establish this domain, this home domain. That home domain can really help us when we go out into the world helping people, helping others. But in order but we have to protect it. Thus I believe. And so now I'm going to go on my little bit of a screed here. How many got? Is that 13? Wow, that was quick. Okay, I'm just going to say quickly that in retreats, and I think we have to make some rules, people, about cell phones in particular. And I think this is actually true. You know, this is true out in life, to be sure. In my own life, I'm really wanting to work more carefully with rules around technology. And I want to make some more rules around technology in this place. I want to ask you to leave your phone in the car. Not even bring it in here. And I'll do the same. I sometimes bring it so I can take pictures, because it takes nice pictures. I'm not going to do that anymore. And during retreats, I am just tired of the cell phone thing. And I really want to hold the line with cell phones. And it's not as much for everybody else as it is for you, as it is for individual people, because cutting that cord is so important, I believe, to finding yourself. And so I have this, maybe later I'll quote Patti LuPone. Did you hear about LuPone who in a Broadway play, grabbed somebody's cell phone, somebody was texting during the play? She reached into the front line and grabbed the cell phone. And she has a thing that maybe I'll read later about, like, she has had it up to here with that. And I feel a little bit the same, honestly, in a Zen context as she does. We're trying to build something here that is, that we're trying to create a kind of atmosphere just like a play does. And, then I, then in terms of our life and our kids, that's the little screed I could go on. I just feel like it's, we have to realize, praise, thank the Lord for the power that these things have, but also appreciate that we have real responsibility around that power. And certainly as practitioners, we do. Okay, not too bad. Thanks. Mm-hmm.